Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It is Friday, December 16th, 2016. I'm Michael Kohlberg, and I am here with my friend Ann Ordley, who is very sleepy.
Yes.
And I'm a psychotherapist in Hudson, New York, and in New York City. Today, I am in Hudson, New York, where it is 0 degrees.
Well, that's cold. I'm here in New York. I don't know how cold it is. I got up about
17.
2 minutes ago.
It is 17 there, I hear.
Yeah, it's cold. It's winter. It's winter officially.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, we missed yesterday because Blog Talk Radio decided to delete my episodes. But today it was there, so we're good. So welcome to Scorpio's Talking. I'm Ian Ortley at the Bright Red Desk.
What's that, that expression? Like, it's all over when hell freezes?
Well, it'll be when hell freezes over.
Yeah, there we are.
Yeah. It's hell freezing over. Well, yesterday, my one assistant came in. She's a little tiny thing, and she walks a bit to get to the train in Brooklyn and then rides. So she came in, and she took off 1, 2, 3 layers of things. You know, she just kind of kept stripping down because my apartment's really warm. But she came in, she says, I'm layering, you know. It was just kind of like taking off top, bottom, till she got to something she could wear. And then at the end of the day, she put it all back on to go back out again.
Yes.
It's snow, you know, remember when you were a little kid and your mother would pack you up in a snowsuit and send you out and you'd be in that little round thing. It's that kind of thing. So, yeah, we had a full moon this week, and it's officially winter. It's cold. It's wind. So, and I guess there's snow coming, too.
It's not officially winter. It gets worse.
Yes, true. It's a few more days. But are you having snow up there, too, or just cold?
It's covered.
Really?
Uh-huh. But not. I mean, there's been dusting since I'm here. I guess we're supposed to have a ton or a bunch tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Cool. That's exciting. And are you staying up there for the weekend for the snow?
Yes.
Nice.
Thanks.
That's always good.
Yes.
Are you going to get to shovel? You don't have a big
shovel. No, I don't shovel.
No shoveling.
We have a person who lives across the street.
Who shovels?
Who's married to her snowblower, and she just
loves to do the hood.
Snowblows everybody. Uh-huh. I just saw her out in the 0 degree walking her cat on a leash.
Oh, wow. She has a cat on a leash?
Yep, it's Hudson.
Wow. Interesting. Huh. Okay. I cats don't like leashes. It's a dog.
This one
thing.
Does. No,
really?
This one,
yeah.
Totally. Yep.
Likes going out?
I don't know. I haven't spoken with it.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going out. No, I'm joking. I do have to go out.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, see, this is the kind of weather where I'm glad I have a cat that goes in a litter box inside, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and I have a bird, so I have to make special provisions if I go back and forth to the city with her. She gets bundled up in shearling around her cage, and the car has to be preheated and all of that.
So you do have, you can carry around the cold, yeah?
Well, I mean, into a warm car,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But 55 degrees is the cutoff.
Wow.
So.
Wow. Otherwise, it's too cold for her.
Yeah.
Well, she's like a tropical bird, right?
Well, yeah, and they're cold-blooded, so they become whatever temperature it is outside.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I mean, I think I know that, but I didn't realize they adapt because they don't have the heating mechanism.
Yeah. Speaking of cold-blooded,
yeah.
How about that world?
Well, I just pulled up, you know, and I signed onto my computer. It's War of Words erupting between Trump and the White House. You know he's going to tweet, you know, I guess the Obama administration said investigate Soviet Union things. And then there's a shot of Putin going down the stairs. So, yeah, I guess that's what they're fighting about. Yeah, so interesting stuff. You know, the thing I find interesting about Donald, it's a Gemini thing. He's a mirror. So he always tells us what's going on, even if it's not about him. You know, like he goes, election's going to be rigged. And everybody gets all bent out of shape about Hillary, and it's like, no, me, I'm rigging the election. It's kind of fascinating because he does warn. I worked with a guy, and then eventually one of the reasons I left was he became my boss. But I worked with him, and we were, you know, coworkers sharing half, we each had half the country. And I, you know, when his thing was going, I'd have to be nice and assist him. And when my thing was going, he was supposed to be nice and assisting me. And I just was like, I really didn't want his help. But But he would always do things and screw stuff up and tell me about it. Like, he would go, yeah, you know, like, I did da-da-da. And I'm like, well, why'd you do that for? And he's like, well, I just did it. You know, I mean, he always confessed. It was fascinating. And he bought his wife and his mother the same presents, which I thought was also pretty bad. He's since divorced, but you don't buy your wife the same thing you're buying your mother. I'm sorry. I'm, you know, well, at least I don't think you do. We would go on, you know, we would travel to do these installs, and, you know, he would get them both the same present. But he would always fess up when he did something bad. And he would tell me, you know, and I would be like, what, you know, what, like, why are you confessing to me?
Well, I think confessing is important. I think being transparent is important. It's that what you're inferring, if I'm following you, mm-hmm. is that he did it on purpose.
Yeah. He would do stuff.
So that's the thing.
Yeah. And then he'd tell me.
So listen, I want to address the letter that you and I got.
Yes. Okay, that's great.
You introduce it.
Okay, I have to find it.
No, you don't have to do. But I mean,
oh, okay.
Do we say who it's from?
That's yeah.
It's,
oh. Well, I think we can just say it's you know, yeah.
From our reader Natalie,
mm-hmm.
and she is extremely conscientious.
Yes.
You know, somebody whose main intention on earth is to do the right thing.
Yes.
So she wrote. And
among other things.
Well, I mean, she does
yeah.
other things, but
yeah.
but her intention.
Right, her intention is to live clean.
Is to get it right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she's always working herself to death.
Mm-hmm.
And we
basically. Love you, Natalie. That's not.
No, I do the same thing exactly.
Right.
I mean, I get it. So that's why I want to talk about it, because my heart goes out. So the bottom line, if I'm remembering correctly, because I haven't looked mm-hmm. since I got it, is that. She has two extremely close friends who she holds dear to her heart. And she voted for Clinton. And her friends let slip that they voted for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't know what to do. And she asked. And she likened it to, is it the same as, I forgot what she likened it to. It's not the same. It's not the same. So here's what I'm doing. And I try to stay ahead of things. Things seem to happen ahead for me because then I've got to help clients.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I found the letter if you want me to read it.
If you want, sure.
Okay. I have two friends who I hold close to my heart who both voted for Trump and who kept it very quiet. Neither of them told me or anyone else about it. When the truth finally was revealed, one of them likened it to being gay, she is not, and having to come out of the closet, and the other appears to be embarrassed. My heart felt so broken by these reveals, and I took it very personally. Both people are white and straight and not of any ethnic or religious background that could possibly be attacked in the Trump campaign. I would like to know if it's possible to keep my heart open to these people. I feel like I want to shut them out of my life. It feels so strong. However, I also know that in couples therapy, our couples therapist talks about there not being a wrong or a right party in disagreements. Both parties simply need to care about the other person's feeling. Am I supposed to apply this to voting choices when one of the candidates is Hitlerian? I would like to hear your thoughts if you have time. Love.
Okay. So here, no, it's not like couples therapy. and I mean, that is my...
That is the most... That was Michael's first takeaway. It is not couples therapy.
Well, and that is my big passion in life, is working with couples. No, it's different. Your primary partner, that relationship is so much more complicated than any other relationship you have in your life.
Including the one with your child.
Yes, yes. And your attachment needs... come very heavily into play with your primary partner, period. And they're dictated by them. So if you want, you know, we don't have time to go through the whole thing, but this is science now, and it's the opposite of what even couples therapists are being taught. But it is science. You can look at Sue Johnson's work online. It's emotionally focused therapy, but there's tons of stuff on YouTube. And there's a Sue Johnson, I've mentioned this before, with Ed Kronick, I think. It doesn't matter. If you just Google in on YouTube, Sue Johnson and Ed, you'll get it, from Cradle to Grave, I think. And it just shows you how, with your partner, the science is that mammals need to attach to a person. And I don't know what happens if people don't have a partner, honestly, whether they have a friend with whom they play this stuff out. I would guess that that's the case. In my life, there's somebody close in who does not have a partner, has not had a partner, and plays that stuff out with her boss, mm-hmm. Which is not a bad thing. It's just that that's where the attachment is. And it's not an incorrect thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know, she's not in the wrong place doing the wrong thing. It's just, it helps understand her behavior when you understand where it's coming from, which is the whole point. So when you have an attachment injury, that means that something has affected secure attachment with your partner. The goal of this therapy, which I've been trying to master, is, and I've been doing this a long time, and there are a whole bunch of senior therapists in the room working on this. There were 17 of us at the last, you know, two-day thing, and we're almost done with the five-month course. And it's deceivingly, it looks simple, but it's not. But it's, you address that attachment need, and then you have access to a lot of wisdom. But when that attachment thing is injured, you don't. You go back to operating rather primitively, and you protest the problem that's happening with the attachment. And so you hear it completely differently, if that makes sense. Let me say it one other way. Everything gets wiped off the thing. If you have a problem with your partner, that is, you can't believe, something like the thing that Natalie's talking about. You're hurt. You have an injury, and you need to address that injury. And a lot of couples therapy still says that we're supposed to be completely separate people and all of that, and that's not true. We're supposed to individuate with somebody. So there's somebody who we're connected to, and we both individuate, but not from each other, okay? With all other relationships, it's different. It's just different, and it depends on what's up. You know, one of my very best friends who I've had for a very long time, I worked on this ad nauseum inside because I could not believe the values, the places she was coming, all of it. And I finally got to, I love her unconditionally. And that came out during, and I always tried to avoid getting into it. There was no point. Because if I tried to bring anything up, the next line would be, I don't like self-help conversations. So, you know, it was like sort of out, which is not exactly what I was trying to do. And I just needed to continually be cognizant of the fact that she is somebody who's in my heart, period. Mm-hmm. And it was going to be excruciatingly painful for me if I sat there and judged what she was doing. Towards me or towards anyone else. So I just had to set my boundaries, and there were long stretches of time where we didn't spend much time together at all. Mm-hmm. And looking back over the 20 years of this, I think it has to do with developmental stuff. I think that she needed to have experiences that were different from the experiences that I needed to have. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean she's going to end up in a different place from me, as has become rather apparent when the chips are down. You know, we've needed somebody. She's shown up. So it's complicated. I think what I would suggest, Natalie, is to keep an image in your head, because I think that works for you, and realize that if you had a child who, you know, you've spent the day setting the table or something, and you go into the kitchen, you come back, and the child has completely like drawn all over the tablecloth or something like that. You're going to have a very different reaction if the child is 8 months old from if the child is 10. At 8 months old, you're going to go, you know, you're going to get pissed because you have to redo the whole thing, but it's going to very quickly move towards, oh, my God, this kid's a genius. At 10, they figured out how to use a crayon. So let's get them art lessons. At 10, that anger is going to last a little longer, and you may get hurt because you're going to expect the child to have been able to take into account your feelings.
Right.
So in your note, you say something about you are taking it personally.
Right.
And that means that at some level, emotionally, you think that that person owes you something. I don't think you think it. I think you feel it. And that is to be examined. They don't. You know? And the reason I'm being hard on this is to get to a place where there's not more contempt in the world. That is the worst thing that could happen on this planet right now.
What, more contempt?
Yes. More anger, more contempt, more hurt.
Mm-hmm.
We need to heal that. So if you can go, I don't understand how that happened. The reality at this point is it's very hard to make sense of anything, and I'll get into what to do with that in a second. So who knows? You know, I may look back in 10 years and go, you know, that was done for really tragic reasons, but it actually sped up a good outcome. We don't know right now. Things are just too unstable, right? So if you can, feel the heart connection. Feel that they felt it towards you as well, which is why they did come forward and say something and said it was very hard to do. I think you're going to be in a better place and than getting caught in what it is that they did and that you don't approve of it. Okay? The other piece of that, which I'm picking up, is that they triggered in you fear. Because your whole world is affected by this, potentially. And it's very hard to know who to trust. And so you withdraw, or you contract, everybody, not you, but people contract into their same tribe, you know, their family of choice. And here you found that your members of your family of choice have decided to aid the thing that's causing you to feel fear.
Right.
And I would deal with that fear, not with them. So for me, it's I am spending time and I'm working very hard. I'm working with the person I work with as a therapist, I mean as a patient, still, infrequently, but these long, intense sessions. And I try to go inside and really connect with God and put myself in their hands. Like, I have no control over anything that's going on in my life right now. And that's being played out with Gene being sick. That's being played out with the situation in the world, whatever. I also avoid listening to anything. Absolute talk radio, forget it. News, forget it. Anything. Don't do it. You don't know that it's accurate. The energetic read right now is that it's, I wouldn't believe the truthfulness of anything, honestly. It's all pretty distorted, often for the purpose of gaining position, be it ratings, a bigger career, whatever. But it's not about accurately, no one has access to a certainty about what the news is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I listened, yes, last night, but just by chance, to a man named Simon Pierce. Simon Parkes, P-A-R-K-E-S, who is a British MP,
mm-hmm.
who is out as half alien, half human.
Oh, really?
And, like, whatever, you know. I thought, somebody told me to look at this a couple years ago, him, and I went, okay, you know, I don't think so. So at some point after that, I did. He's totally sane. So you can listen to some stuff. He explains the political, as a British MP, he's got access to a lot more information than we do. He usually explains it before it happens. He's usually pretty accurate. And he's a decent guy, I think. Married with kids in Britain. So I just, upon balance, you want nothing at all to do with anything that's going to close your heart. That does not mean that you withdraw from people. I'd certainly be more circumspect at the moment. But if it's somebody who is near and dear to you, it's not helpful to contract away from them. It's so totally okay to withdraw, mm-hmm. change your boundaries, and work on opening your heart to them, even though. And the reason for that is because every single thing is frequency. It's all vibrational. We are, you know, mostly fluid, and we vibrate. And, you know, I feel the weight of the world on my shoulder, all that kind of stuff is heavy vibration. It's just darker. I feel happy-go-lucky, light as a feather. All those happy expressions speak to a faster frequency. It's lighter. It weighs less, right? So the faster the vibration, the more light is in it. The more light that we are able to generate on the planet, the higher the frequency is going to be. This is explained elegantly, although I've never gone through it, in that book, Power Versus Force, written by a psychiatrist using mm-hmm. kinesiology. But, you know, I've read it. You can also look at The Bond by Lynn McTaggart, who's a science reporter, who's great. The Bond or the, I think, well, there are two books that are really good by her, but I know one is The Bond, one is The Field and Bond. And what we put into the world affects the entire ocean. You know, every cup of water poured into the ocean affects the ocean. So the more we can really work on keeping our heart open, the more we're going to raise the frequency of the planet. And at a certain point, certain kinds of behaviors do not exist. They just can't exist in a raised frequency. So, you know, that's a very simple explanation of something that is a little more complicated. And I don't, it's good enough for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I find for me, I don't need to understand all the complexities all the time, but I try to remember that anything I do that adds love is going to raise the frequency of the planet. And if enough people are doing it, it's going to raise it, and it's going to raise it above bad stuff. And as the frequency of the planet has, you know, it's in huge flux. And what's being broadcast on the news is very low-frequency stuff. But that does not mean that there are not a hell of a lot of people out there who are working to raise the frequency. And I think that because there's a lot of manipulation going on to scare people to keep the frequency low. Mm-hmm. Because the frequency is rising. More and more people are waking up. And that's a higher frequency than was in existence during the Crusades, mm-hmm. you know. So that's my suggestion.
Interesting. I like that. So in her case, not to close from these friends.
Well, but you
how
can
does
certainly
she handle the anger? Because I get angry. I got a nasty email last night from somebody. And I was in a mood to answer it, so I wrote back, hi, Anne, I have love reading your column, but I realize you're liberal and I'm conservative. Hang on, it's doing strange things here. And I'm part of the silent majority, and I've kept quiet for many moons, but I'm tired of liberal noise. We need more politeness and less political correctness. I thank the Lord we have the conservative Republicans back in office to balance the craziness that's been coming down the pike for too long. Obama regime be gone, Clinton dynasty with you. I look forward to future readings, but do not want to see more disrespect for our new president. Thank you. Sue.
So,
double Taurus on the cusp of Gemini.
What did you say?
I was mean. I have a Mercury Mars, Michael, which you don't often see because I.
Oh, please. No excuses. No.
No. I mean,
I'm teasing you.
I basically said, you know, the important thing, you know, I've lived in New York since 76 and I'm familiar with Donald Trump. Only 10% of the city voted for him, mostly Staten Island where the conservatives live. He's not a good guy. He's a con artist and a crook, which the rest of America will find out soon enough. He's also not conservative. 3 wives, 5 children, numerous affairs on all his wives, including Melania, 4 bankruptcies, cheats, doesn't pay his taxes, doesn't pay his contractors. That's not conservative. My parents and many of my Republican relatives are cloth coat Republicans. They don't behave like that. He doesn't pay his taxes. Doesn't matter what they say. The important thing is what they do. Since Ronald Reagan started privatizing the world back in 1980, we've gone to war in every Republican administration. Again, not a conservative thing to do. As you understand astrology, our country is approaching its Pluto return. Last time this happened, 248 years ago, we had the Revolutionary War where we left England. The French had a revolution, too, where they took down the elites who governed their country with the guillotine in Paris. I certainly don't want a guillotine in Times Square. So I will continue to write about it until I get locked up or shot in the street. It's time to not be politically correct. Astrology helps us get conscious about what's going on and why it's dismissed. It tells the truth by looking at the planets and the signs and their dance. I would suggest you read history to see how the events of today match what was going on prior to that French Revolution and the rise of Hitler in Nazi Germany. If you prefer fiction, read Marjorie Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale. History repeats itself when we don't pay attention. So your beloved conservatives are going to continue to deregulate and privatize. Watch out Social Security, public education, libraries, police departments, jails, court systems.
Got it. So here's what I would say. I don't remember everything she said, mm-hmm. but here's what stuck out at me.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, Dear Sue, how did it start, the first sentence? There was something there.
I love reading your astrology updates, but I realize you're a liberal and I'm coming.
Okay. So I love reading your column. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you for letting me know you enjoy reading the column.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that popped out at me is that you went on to say but.
Yep, I did but. Mm-hmm.
What came up for me is the fact is you enjoy reading a column written by somebody with whom you don't share a lot of beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
It's these commonalities that I want to speak to.
Oh.
For instance, I've kept quiet for too long. Yes, it's important to make your voice part of a conversation. Silent majority, not exactly the case since
Hillary won by 3 million.
Right. So, and just go through it like that. But it's I would distinguish some of the inferences she made, which aren't true. She's lumping all liberals together with the Clintons, which is absolutely on its face, patently untrue. Look at, you know, what's going on.
Yeah.
So that's not true. And in many ways, Hillary's not. She's a centrist,
mm-hmm.
you know. So the point is we have to find our way together.
Right.
And the reason that you're wanting to grab power
mm-hmm.
is because you feel as though it's been taken from you. So do other people, and they will try to take it back from you unless we understand we're all in this together.
Right.
That's kind of where I would go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think what you said came across as angry. I just don't think that she necessarily wants to learn.
Right.
So you need to ask, are you, if you're interested.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you have a.
My other one.
Well,
I close with, he's not my president, he never will be.
No, that's, we don't know.
You know, you've been conned, and I consider it my personal responsibility to educate you and help you see the truth.
Right.
But I like that. We'll find a place where we meet.
We have to find
a
place. That's our job.
That's our job, right? That's a good point.
All right.
I
you
hate
have
having
your thing,
to be grown up in the relationship.
Well,
I do.
But that assumes that's what she's trying to say to you, that she's tired of being the grown up. And so what are you going to devolve? So that's fine. We'll both be children. Or if it's like, I get it. I feel the same way. Let's give each other a hug.
Okay. Yeah.
And we don't have to be either thing in a relationship. Let's just be together and go, well, this is no fun, is it?
Mm-hmm.
And see where it takes us.
Right.
I don't know how to solve this one.
Right.
Is your patient waiting there?
No,
I
turned off her Skype.
Okay.
She's supposed to come at 9.
Okay.
So we're off.
Yeah.
I'm flying next week. We don't know what the schedule is, but we will be here if we're here.
Okay.
Yeah, does that sound like a plan?
That sounds like a plan. So just let me know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know I'm flying on Thursday, so we can do it Wednesday. We can do it Friday. We can do it later on.
All right. We'll be in touch.
We'll be in touch.
Because I don't have my calendar in front of me.
In the meantime, gang, have a great week.
Everybody. Yes. Take care of yourselves.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.